Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. As I thought this past week about this very familiar gospel for this Sunday, my thoughts again turned back to a brief article written by C.S. Lewis way back in 1948. And the title of the article is God in the Dock. God in the Dock. Dock, not in the sense of the place where ships are tied up, but dock as the place where an accused person stands trial. And this is what Lewis had to say. The ancient man approached God or the gods as the accused person approaches his judge. For the modern man, the roles are reversed. He is the judge. God is in the dock. Modern man is quite a kindly judge. If God should have a reasonable defense for being the God who permits war, poverty, and disease, he's ready to listen to it. The trial may even end in God's acquittal. But the important thing is that man is on the judge's bench and God is in the dock. For thousands of years, human beings approached God or the gods as an accused person approaches his judge. But for modern man, the roles are reversed. Man is on the judge's bench and God is in the dock. And with this reversal goes the loss of any real sense of sin as an offense against the tender mercy of our Maker. One very telling symptom of this loss of a sense of sin is the language we now commonly use. For example, have you noticed how it's become increasingly rare to speak of good and evil, of right and wrong, of virtue and vice? What could we do instead? People tend to speak of behavior as being appropriate or inappropriate. Or to take another example, when did you last hear someone described as a God-fearing person? Yes, our speech betrays us, the loss of any real sense of sin, and with it the holy fear of offending him who is both the ground of our being and our gracious Heavenly Father, who wants only good things for us, his wayward children. Now you might be thinking that it's really unnecessary to bring all this up in a church like ours, where we do every Sunday confess our sins. But I think we deceive ourselves if we fail to realize that we're affected by the world we live in. A world which on the one hand has lost any real sense of sin, and on the other hand, a world in which there are growing mountains of evidence of the destruction daily wrought by sin. And that, of course, is what sin does. It destroys us. As St. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. Not only eternal death, but death here and now, the death of love and joy and charity and hope. And so it has been from the very beginning of the human story. For as we heard in the Old Testament lesson this morning, When after Adam and his wife had eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, wanting to be themselves like God, that is, wanting to be the ones who decide what is good and evil, right and wrong, Cain, their firstborn son, rises up and out of envy kills his brother, and then on top of that sin refuses to take any responsibility for what he'd done, saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" So to come to the point, the prayer of the tax collector, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," is a prayer that the modern world can scarcely understand. But if there is no sin, we need no savior from sin, and then we can never know the joy of God's full forgiveness flowing from the wounds of Jesus. To see the depths of sin in all its horror, we need to look at the cross on which our God and Savior hangs. In the words of the 19th century hymn writer Thomas Kelly, "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God." As St. Paul writes, "None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." But here in the cross, we see not only the horror of sin, we also see the wonder of love beyond understanding. In the poured out blood of Jesus, which, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews writes, "That blood which speaks more graciously than that of Abel," as we sing in the familiar Lenten hymn, "Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries." And that cry for mercy did not go unanswered, for the resurrection of Jesus is the actual word of God's pardon to the whole lost world of sinners. Christ died because he bore in his sinless soul the burden and stain of all our sins, and the wages of sin is death. But in raising Jesus from the dead, God the Father absolved Jesus not of his sins, for he had none, but of our sins, which he bore. And Jesus' resurrection is therefore God's proclamation of forgiveness to the whole lost world of sinners. All that needed to be done to save us has been done, and done perfectly once for all. And all that you and I or any poor sinner can do is simply to receive that gracious word of pardon. Faith is not something you and I do to please God. Faith is simply the receiving of God's mercy and pardon in Jesus, crucified for our sins and raised now that the whole work of salvation has been accomplished. The receiving of his pardon adds nothing to the value of that wonderful gift of love. Receiving his pardon simply makes it mine. And the problem with the Pharisee in today's gospel was that he was so full of himself that he would not, could not be given to, for only empty hands and a beggarly heart can receive this priceless treasure of full pardon and perfect peace. So yes, we are indeed the accused. We are in the dock. and God is on the judge's bench. But the eternal judge has himself in his Son paid for all our wrongdoing, wrong speaking, wrong thinking. And so we are released from every accusation and bond, declared not guilty. And so come what may, can go joyfully on our way in the calm certainty of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.